This is The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. On this show, we're going to speak to the independent creators who make the games that you and I love. I'm your host and the DM of Sounds Like Adventure, Jack Traynor. Hey there. It's another episode of The Table Business. It's me, Jack. How you going? Awesome episode for you today. I'm joined by Dennis, aka the OKSDM. He's a TTRPG YouTuber and he's a creator himself. He created the system Sagas. It just recently had a successful Kickstarter campaign and it seemed to just be everywhere all over my feed. In today's episode, we're going to talk all about Sagas, what it is, and we're going to break down some successes and not so successes of the Kickstarter campaign. Dennis is going to talk about the importance of marketing, how sponsoring actual play shows was a huge part of his strategy, and he'll share how he found it was kind of hard to connect the spend to the actual backers when it came to marketing, but why he doesn't think that really matters. Well, hey, let's get into it. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
So I always start things out by just sort of getting to know you a little bit better. So you're a TTRPG YouTuber and you're the creator of the new system Sagas. So in a few sentences, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Dennis. Like you said, I run the OKSDM YouTube channel where I make mistakes running games so you don't have to. And that has, like you said, it's been more and more of like switching over to live streaming stuff because editing videos is a slog. It takes forever. But as part of that, moving over to live streams, I've been doing a lot of playtesting for my own system, Sagas, which just as time of recording, funded last week. So it's all fresh. It's all super exciting. And I'm very much looking forward to getting back into the meat of the system instead of focusing 100% on marketing for the Kickstarter.
And we're going to dive deep on the whole Kickstarter experience today. But before we get into that, and the other place I really like to start these things is like, you know, the world of tabletop games, we all have our stories, our origin stories, how we got into it. So take us back. What's your origin story? And I won't like paint the picture for me. What did the day look like? How did it all happen?
All right. So I'm going to cheat a little bit. There are actually two answers. So the first time was when I was in middle school, and it was, if I recall correctly, it was a cloudy day, and my dad, who had played Dungeons & Dragons when he was in high school, wanted me to experience it because he thought, you know, this kid's a nerd, just like I was, so I want him to experience the same things I did and see if he likes it or not. And so he took me to our local game store, and I played in a fourth edition game, Adventurers League. If you don't know what that is, it's basically local game stores get together official Dungeons and Dragons game masters with like a set of rules that they need to follow when they run these games. And it's like 4 to 10 tables all playing exactly the same episode of a longer campaign. So I hopped in right in the middle of a much longer story. So I didn't really know what was going on, but boy, was I excited for my drow rogue to, you know, show them what's up. And I didn't. It went horribly. So when I got to the table and we started playing and I'm like, okay, I kind of get what is happening here. You know, we're telling a story together, and combat started, and the big bad for the entire campaign showed up for like the first 2 rounds of combat. And I, being the rogue, did what rogues are supposed to do. And I jumped out of the shadows and tried to stab him, right? I missed. The next turn, the big bad turned around, rolled a natural 20, and dropped me from full to 0 hit points immediately. And since these dungeon masters have to follow these rules, that's, you know, you have to honor the roll. Otherwise, you can't fudge that. And so I failed the death save my next turn. And then I failed the death save the turn after that. And guess what? The turn after that, I failed my 3rd death save. And I was so upset. This little middle schooler who just wanted to come here and have some fun got beat beat into the ground by math and rules. And I'm like, this is so dumb. Why would anyone want to play this? I'm never going to try this again. So that was my very first experience with it.
Yeah, let me jump in here because I've heard you tell this story on another podcast. And I specifically wanted to hear about this. So there's a second chapter to this story, obviously. We wouldn't be here having you on this podcast if that wasn't the case.
Spoilers.
How do you go from that, like, that point of like, this is the worst thing imaginable, I've had a terrible time, to this becoming something that's a huge focus of your life? How do you go from there to there? And how do you overcome that, like, man, that sucked?
Yeah, it was the worst. And step one, spend several years blotting it from your memory. That's what I did. So it was maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years after that, right at the eve of the very beginning of fifth edition is when I got back into it. And I found the old fourth edition books, which we didn't throw away from, you know, that experience. I was like digging in my closet or something, and I pulled them out of the very bottom and I said, ooh, that's some pretty cool art. What is this? And I honestly had no idea. I actually didn't remember. And I started flipping through it and started, you know, I'm a little bit older. I get a better understanding of what this actually is. And I, instead of judging from that one horrible experience that I had right at the beginning, I started trying to conceive of what this could be. Like, this isn't a novel I'm reading. This is a game. We get to play this. Like, we can tell our own story. And at this point, I had been, like, drawing maps for my own, you know, world-building thing, copying, you know, Lord of the Rings and Aragon and all the classic fantasy novels. And this was exactly what I was looking for, and I didn't know it. I go to the store, and I'm like, hey, do you guys have more of this stuff? And he's like, yeah, we just released this really cool new edition for that, actually. Here's the books for it. And I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to spend all my allowance and grab those. So I bought the fifth edition Player's Handbook, read through it, didn't understand most of what was in it, but was so excited. So I go around trying to find people that, you know, want to run this. And I'm like, would you run this for me so I can play it? And they're all like, no, but I'd play in it if you did, you know. So that is how I became the forever DM, just right off the bat.
Awesome. So there's a lot we could talk about on that subject. And I'm personally really interested in, like, the act of being a better DM, being a better GM, all that kind of stuff, the specific challenges. So I think we'll have to bring you back in the future to take, like, a deep dive on specific elements of DMing and GMing. Because today, I really want to talk about sagas with you. So I think let's just set the scene right away. It feels to me like everyone is talking about sagas in some way at the moment. It's all over my feed everywhere I look. So if there's someone who's listening who has been living under a rock and who hasn't heard about it, can you tell us what sagas actually is?
Sure. I've got the elevator pitch pulled up and all prepared, so off I go. Sagas, or Setting and Genre Agnostic System, is a universal math-light TTRPG designed to help easily tell your story in any world. In only 15 minutes, you can teach yourself the rules, build a character, and start playing. Choose from over 100 features to create your player character, or use the guidelines for quickly making your own unique abilities. Sagas also promotes helping allies over helping yourself. Using the smooth and fast combat rules, you can describe the epic team combos that take down the final boss. Sagas uses a check-based roll-under resolution system. Your character features change the size of the die you roll, and your allies can help by giving you more dice to roll, improving your chances of getting the lowest number possible.
Very cool. Specific. It's unique. What's your favorite thing about the system?
If I was forced to pick, I would actually have to say the death and dying mechanics are probably my favorite thing about sagas. So when you reach zero health, when you take a hit and you are dropped to no more health remaining, you have to make a choice. You can either fall unconscious, which, you know, sounds exactly like it's supposed to. You can't take turns, really. You can still be healed and you'll probably survive. But you'll take a nasty, nasty wound that will take several rests to heal out of you. Or you can take your last stand and gain a huge power boost in exchange for resigning yourself to death. If you take your last stand, there is no way to get out of that situation alive anymore. Pretty much every single time someone has used it, it's been amazing. It's created a perfect, fantastic, epic narrative to bring that character to an end. Probably one of my favorite ones would have to be in our Pokepocalypse game, which you can see over on the OKSDM YouTube channel. Imagine this. All the humans in the world died in a nuclear apocalypse. All of the Pokemon that they had on them at the time, gone. 90% of the Pokemon in the wild, dead. And now, 50 years later, the box storage system for Pokemon is finally failing and releasing its contents out into the wild. And so we got to see a whole bunch of, you know, Pokemon that had been stored forever in these computers getting released, and every single player character played a Pokemon that was boxed and forgotten. You know, so it was like right off the bat, you had these emotions rolling as the characters met each other and started talking. They met a wild Pokemon who was just this little snow runt shivering in the nuclear winter cold. And they went up the, you know, went to the big bad lair and had this epic showdown with a, spoilers at this point forward, if you want to go actually watch it yourself, but they go get up there and they face off against a Gengar and his army of Ghastlies. So they start the combat, they start fighting and fighting and fighting, and it's not going super well. And once all of the Ghastlies disappear, I got to use the boss monster mechanics, which empowered the Gengar, and he turned into a Mega Gengar and became that much more difficult to defeat. It ended in a TPK, with three of them choosing to go unconscious and one of them choosing to take a last stand.
That is extremely dramatic.
It is. It's so dramatic.
Yes, and that's the type of moment that this system enables. So let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter campaign now. So you mentioned that it was successful. Congratulations. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
And at the time of recording, the campaign finished just sort of a few days ago, right? So how are you feeling right now?
I am eagerly awaiting Kickstarter to send me those funds so I can get back into budgeting and figuring out how much art we can do. but I'm very, very constantly and overwhelmingly thankful for all the support my little game has garnered. It exploded much faster than I could have ever asked for or conceived. Like, there's a server with encroaching 200 people on it where they're running games, they're making their own stuff, and I'm just blown away by how much interest people have in something that I created. And it brings me to happy tears knowing that something I made can go out in the world and help other people experience this kind of joy.
So let's break down the campaign a bit, though, because a lot of people who listen to this show are independent tabletop creators themselves, and they might be considering doing something like this at some stage. So we want to talk a little bit about how the whole campaign came about, what worked, what didn't work, those types of things. So I guess, like, the big question that I think a lot of people are curious about is, how did you decide on your funding goal? How did you decide on the amount of money that you wanted to hit for this project?
A significant amount of budgeting and research. I picked up that about a third of your set-aside budget should be for marketing, especially for small indie designers. I don't think I used that money very well. I sponsored a ton of channels to run sagas. I went and did a bunch of Facebook and Instagram ads, but I didn't put a lot of money into those, and the link was broken for most of the time. So it was very sad to see, you know, $80 go down the drain into directing people to a 404 page. Do your research. Make sure that the stuff you're putting out there works. I think marketing and art, at least for us, were the two largest pieces of budget that we were working towards. You are also going to have to pay that money beforehand, at least the marketing part you will. And it certainly helps to do a significant amount of art beforehand too. I got lucky. Our artist, Rook Zero, has been very generous and is letting us look through his old pieces to put into the book and put onto the Kickstarter page. And I'm very thankful that I'm going to be able to, like, we funded. So now I'm going to be able to pay him money and commission him to finish these line drawings that he's done, you know, colorize them, tidy them up, because he's so good. It's every single time I look at one of his pieces, I'm blown away.
And you spoke a little bit about having a marketing budget there as well. So is that marketing budget like for the Kickstarter campaign, or are you saying that there's a portion of what would come out of the Kickstarter going to marketing later, just for clarity?
This is my first Kickstarter. I want to clarify that as well. So I don't know if what I did is going to continue to work, but it did get me funded. It was down to the wire, though. Most of the marketing budget went to sponsoring actual play streams of my game on different channels. And going back and looking at the numbers, I got much less than that back through backers on the Kickstarter. And I think that's normal, because I sponsored maybe half a dozen channels to run sagas. Some are one shots, some are longer campaigns, some are mini series, but none of them came close to generating the amount that I paid them in the first place, at least according to the affiliate links that I sent them. And, doing some more research in this past week, that's normal, but it's still a good use of your money. Like you said, Sagas is all over your feed right now, and that wouldn't be happening if I hadn't spent that money to have those sponsored games be run, because now all the people that were playing in that sponsored game know about it. Some of them actually did end up backing it, but what it really does is it does that effect on the feed. Like, most of the time, someone that looks at an ad isn't going to click on it and buy the thing the first time they see it. But the 10th time they see it, they're going to be like, okay, there has to be something about this. Why are so many people talking about this? And it is that word of mouth that really, really pushed us over the funding goal in the last day.
Then how did you see things play out during the actual campaign? Was there like an initial burst of funding and then you saw things slow down in the middle? What did it look like?
Yes, that is pretty much exactly what happened. We saw a huge boost during our launch party that carried us over into the next day. And then from there, it basically flatlined. We gained, you know, one backer or two backers every single day during that time. But it wasn't until the last 3 days that we saw the largest spike in the campaign's history. I'm not going to lie, we were really, really nervous that we weren't going to fund for a sec there, because at the halfway point of the campaign, we were still like $500 to $1,000 below our halfway point for funds. I started doing this like negative self-talk, which was very bad. And I was like, well, I guess we're not going to fund. Like, all of the numbers are telling us that we're, you know, projecting underneath our goal and we're not going to get there. And so we came up with this contingency plan. What's going to happen if we don't fund? I was going to lose a significant chunk of money on the marketing that I had already spent. But in the end, the word of mouth truly spread. And I think what really did it is I was able to leverage the most powerful tool available to me, and that is the friends I've been able to make in the TTRPG space over the last 2 years of content creation. and everyone was more than happy to boost the posts they saw, to do their own stuff. A couple of people made actual shorts talking about this game. And one of the comments on the campaign at the end was, "Hi, I'm here from this person, and this person who I heard this through, and then I finally backed it." It's that word of mouth, and not just just the word of mouth, but the repetitive word of mouth from different mouths. It's this little tight-knit community we've got here in the TTRPG space. So word of mouth is absolutely the most powerful tool we had when we were trying to fund.
And I noticed during that period of time, in between sort of the beginning and the end, the two rush periods, I saw you posting, sort of trying to get the word out and things like that. Did you find any of those activities that you were trying during that period? Did you find anything was particularly effective at getting people to move the needle at all?
I think that there's not one thing that I can point to other than, you know, asking my friends for help, because that whole month was just constant social media posting over and over and over and over again. And even if it's not from the same person, I think that someone out there, well, several dozen, maybe over 100 people out there, saw these repetitive posts about this same thing. And they slowly, without actually listening to a podcast episode or watching a stream, they slowly learned how the game works through these single individual ad over the course of like a week. And I think there was one of those selling points, because Sagas has a lot. One of those selling points was the right one to push them over the edge and get them to click on the link that brought them to the Kickstarter so they could learn everything else.
And what channels were you pushing your content out on as well, your promotion out on?
Most of my social media activity is on Twitter and Threads. I've also got my YouTube channel, which has, I've always got, you know, 1,000 subscribers in the back pocket that saw my early videos and said, "Hey, this guy's cool," I guess.
They sent you a signed letter saying that you were cool. I heard. That's what I heard anyway.
It wasn't a letter. It was a an engraving on platinum, actually.
Oh, wow. Jeez, they all put together. They all joined for it.
But I was leveraging that YouTube community tab as well. But really, it was just those three platforms for social media. And I think it was other people who had a much larger following on different platforms, like Blue Sky and Instagram and Facebook, that were able to garner that extra attention. I was also doing like these interviews, these guest speakings for maybe a dozen different podcasts during that month. And I think that was the most rewarding thing. It was the most fun I was having during the Kickstarter, for sure, because this kind of thing that we are doing right now is by far my favorite thing about the TTRPG space, where two people, maybe three, sit down and talk about the things that they love for an hour. And it's in a professional space where we all know, you know, we respect each other. We come in with that certain mindset. We're going to have a good time. We come in with that expectation. And I have yet to see that not happen.
I guess, is there anything that you wouldn't do again if you were looking at this campaign? Is there anything like, no, I wouldn't waste any time or money on this thing?
Broken links on Facebook ads. Make sure your stuff works, guys.
That's a good one. But anything else, like any activities where you're like, this was a dud and it took too much time and I just like, I'm not going to invest in that again if I ever go down this road again?
I don't think so, because even the things that didn't end up paying me back in Kickstarter backers, I was able to be paid back in other ways. I certainly made a lot of new friends during this month. I've met so many amazing people, discovered several different realms of content that are TTRPG adjacent. And I've been building up this community behind this game. And I don't think there's anything that I did that didn't contribute to at least one of those.
And what do you think the biggest lesson of the campaign was?
The biggest lesson of the campaign for me was definitely don't give up until the last day, the literal last minute, because we raised over 60% of our total funds in the last 3 days. It was insane how quickly we saw that spike once the final day boost started kicking in.
Stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, once again, congratulations on funding. So, Dennis, I have some recurring questions that I always ask, but we've gone deep on this and I think we're out of time. Promise to bring you back so we can do a deep dive on GMing, DMing, and in that one, we're going to dive into the recurring questions. But to wrap things up today, if people are interested in finding out more about you, finding out more about Sagas, where should they go?
You can find me on pretty much all the socials at okayest_DM. I've also got my Linktree, linktr.ee/okayestdm. All of my stuff is going to be on there, from my YouTube channel and all of the playlists that I've curated, from playtests of Sagas to having other guests on my own channel to the ancient videos that people for some reason are still watching. But that link tree is probably the best place to find out where I exist in your favorite platforms.
Dennis, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and I cannot wait to talk again.
You've been listening to The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. If you'd like to know more about anything we spoke about today, all the links for all the people that we spoke to are available in the show notes. Or head over to soundslike_pod on Instagram, and we'll definitely be talking about them there. And if you liked what you heard, why not check out Sounds Like Adventure? That's our main show. It's an actual play podcast with fun roleplay, short run times, and great sound design. But to make sure you don't miss the next episode of The Table Business, make sure you subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And a 5-star review really, really helps to get a few more people to see the show. And we hear it, Sounds Like Adventure. We would be so grateful if you took the time to do that. All right. With all that in mind, we'll catch you for the next episode of The Table Business.